I ventured off to West Florida Hospital to visit a couple of our ladies that are there, and I had this suit on without a tie, and as I went in, I went up the sixth floor to see Miss Julianne Mosteller. She has pancreatic cancer. She is at death's door and realizes that. Bernie, faithful people. And as I started in, I just kind of nervously stuck my hand in my pocket, and I remembered. I was in a meeting preaching a few days ago over in Okaloosa County, and a lady said, "I just want you to have these." She crochets little crosses and has the message of the gospel on it. And so I went into Julianne's room and I said, "Julianne, I just want to pin this on your pillow. Don't forget Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we're healed." By the cross, big tears flooded her eyes. I cried, she cried. And I went down to see the pal, Susie, and they'd taken her from ICU down to another place, and I had a second cross in my pocket, and she was asleep, but I pressed it into her husband, Deacon Danny, pal's hand. I said, "Give this to your sweetheart." He sent me a text just for church tonight and said, "We just got the pathology report back, no cancer." And I said, "Well, hallelujah." Still a radical surgery, but it was a good report that we had been praying for. Sometimes God heals us for a little while here, but by the cross, he heals us all over there. And if you live long enough, you're going to die. And if you don't know the Lord, you'll have eternal death. But if you know him, you'll be in a perfect place with a perfect body because he's worthy. Yes, he is. Well, the cross does that because it takes our sin and atones. I want you to read the Word of God tonight, first in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, where Paul speaks to us and says, "Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Then in Galatians 6 and verse 14, read it out loud with the pastor, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Then read with me from Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. Read aloud these words, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross." Read with me from Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8. "Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And then from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, read these words with me. "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." And then out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, if I had a text for just my devotional thought tonight before we let the elements preach, it would be these words, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Listen to me. The word of the cross, if you don't believe, it's a fool's story. Nothing happened there except a man died between two thieves. But to those of us that are being saved, it's the very power of Almighty God. Amen. You see, the cross, two things I want you to see in that text quickly. First of all, the cross saves us. Nothing else saves us, just Jesus, His blood on the cross. He took heaven with one hand and earth with the other, and He built a bridge. He was the ransom. He was the atonement. He was that brought life and death together and redeemed us as He paid the price for our sin. For those of us that are being saved, you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm one of those being saved." Well, if you've never been saved, then when this service is over in a few minutes, I want you to go out here. There's several next step tables. You can't miss them now. We've got new signs up and down. You can see them out there in the foyer. Walk right up to one of those, and somebody will be there. They'll help you. They'll open the Word of God, and they'll share with you how you can know Jesus and how you can be saved tonight. I'm telling you, the cross will save you if you'll trust Him. If you call on His name, the power of the cross is to save. And then as you read on down in that chapter, he says, Paul does, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, whether you're a Jew or a Greek," because some Jews thought it foolish and Greeks thought it foolish. But he said, if you're a Jew or a Greek and you've been called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, not only will God save us, but God through Christ will unite us. Whether you're Jew or Greek, black or white, rich or poor, conservative or liberal, when you come to Jesus, He makes us one. That's what this table does. It calls us all together. Do you remember the words Jesus was on the cross? They stretched Him out. There's seven words there, but one of those words, He looked down and He said, "Father, forgive them." Now listen to me, church. Before you come to this table, if you've got a brother or a sister that you have aught in your heart against, you got to lay that down. This table draws us together. You say, "Well, preacher, you don't know what they did to me." No, I don't, nor do I care. What they did is not germane to the conversation. What is germane is what Jesus did for you. And if He forgave you, you should forgive them. Whether you're Jew or Greek, the cross. You do know that there are going to be some non-Americans in heaven, don't you? You do know there's going to be people from Central Asia and Australia. I preached out at Pathways for Change. Or Teen Challenge this week. And I asked three people to give their testimony, not just in each section. And one girl gave her testimony. I said, "Where were you saved?" She said, "I was saved in New Jersey." I said, "I didn't even know you could get saved in New Jersey." She said, "You can, preacher, you can. God's up there." I said, "Well, amen." Some of you think it's just going to be Southerners that are going. You're going to be really discouraged because God's got His people from the four corners of the planet, and He brings us together. And I'm telling you, you've got to get past your hurt and your anger and your Jewishness and your Greekness and let the cross, "Father, forgive them." I shall never forget, I was in my first church as a pastor, New Lebanon Baptist Church, between Springville and Odenville, Alabama, up on Simmons Mountain, way out in the country. 44 in Sunday school, first time I was there. God began to work and grow the little church. The Martin boys got saved. Raymond was the first one. Then Frank, then Steve. Frank reads the Greek New Testament like you'd read the Pensacola News Journal. I just thought he's some old doofus. God saved him, called him, he went off to school, he now runs all the computers at Samford University. Absolutely amazing what grace did. We ordained those boys as deacons. I remember the Sunday. I said, just before we take the Lord's table, Raymond, stand and lead us in prayer. And he came running and just slid in at the altar. He said, preacher, I can't. I got an issue of divisiveness with a brother. I got to get this right before I could ever pray. We like to have church. Because a deacon got honest about his sin. Not somebody else's sin. He got honest about his sin. And boy, God lit a fuse and did a good work. Dear friend, let me tell you, the cross. Don't boast in anything but the cross. And it'll save you and it will unite us if we would, by faith, come together.